Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is your brother Elohim coming to you live out of Philadelphia. You have just listened to our national anthem, Age of Freedom Has Come. Okay, you can have it, but you have to work for it. Okay, let me just walk up and give it to you. Now, you have to pay the price for it, you know, and the price is your hard work and building up your character so that you can handle being prick. You know, everybody can't handle being prick. And that's something to think about. Because being free means that you're dealing with your own food, clothing, shelter, and security. A lot of the things, we're not growing anything. You know, we just totally dependent on others for everything, you know. And that's fine because the ones that are providing you with these goods and services, they're getting super rich, you know, super, super, super rich, you know. And so if you want to get, be a part of that or get some of that or get into that, you know, you're going to have to step up and start figuring out how to provide your own food, clothing, shelter, security. Now, this is Wednesday. Wednesday, we talk about politics. This political day, Wednesday. We're going to, naturally, I'm going to talk about love just for a second, you know. Let's talk about it every day. But love is an act that makes others feel good. And if you're not engaged in a relationship where the only act that you're committing is making the other person feel good, and the only act that they're committing is making you feel good, then you're not in a loving relationship. Some one party or the other party don't know what love is, you know? And if in a loving relationship, the relationship should last forever, you know? There's no reason to break up. You're not doing anything that they wouldn't do, and that would make you make them not feel good. And you're not doing anything that that you would do that would not make them feel good. Then there's no reason for having a dispute or having any debate is one thing, but there will be nothing to argue about really. Now, if you're going in a certain direction, you both have skills, you both have things that you can do. So whatever direction you're going in, each party should be supportive of that direction. And basically, there you have it. So love is an act that makes you feel good. I'm not going to talk that much about love. But, you know, like I said, we talk about love every day. But love is very important. This is why we have trouble getting along in groups and getting along with our friends and our family, because we actually don't know what love is. Because they're teaching obsessionism as love. And that's not love. If you into somebody, you really want that person to be with you, but if they're not in tune to you, you know, stalking them, trying to force them to be with you and treating it like it's a game that you're playing, you know, that you have to win this person, you know, it could get very, very tricky. So you have to be careful, you know, how you play the game of love. But it's not a game. Love is an action word. And the act is, what can I do today to make this person feel good? Okay? Don't try to make them jealous. Don't try to make them envious. Because the heart has a neural net in it that communicates with the brain. Okay? And the heart gives off hormones. That's why sometimes you just get this feeling, you know, when you, even when you just meet somebody. They remind you of somebody that there is something to you or something that you don't like. And these hormones kick in. I don't know. I just don't like them. I don't like that person. No reason whatsoever. You just don't like them. But there's a frequency between the two people, and it just ain't working, you know? So you have to be mindful how and what you're doing when it comes to love, okay? Very interesting. Okay. Now, everything we do mostly is coming from the biblical text. And, yesterday we read from Tawana Scripture's Complete Volume. It's a very powerful book. It's not an occult book, so there's not a whole lot of stories in there. There's just things in there to bring you to power, if that's what you're trying to do. In the book, there's an affidavit how you can set up your unincorporated corporation, okay? There's a portion in there that talks about trust. Well, actually, we give you a trust book when you're in the, when you join the society. Your whole book just on trust. Because we need to know how to set up trust, put out, you can put the birth certificate, you can put housing, put everything out of trust. Yeah, but if something happens to you when you get older or some accident or something happens to you, you won't have to go through probate. You know what I'm saying? Because you got property in different states. Each one of you got to go through probate. It'll take forever for your children to get their inheritance. Okay, this way, if they don't get their inheritance, it won't take that long. Okay? Then we're talking about wills and all that stuff. So actually, in the book, there's nothing about wills as far as I can remember. I didn't put anything in there about wills because if you have heirs, okay, you can list what your heirs are going to get in the trust and who's going to be in charge of what. So that negates the fact, that negates you actually having a will. So, but there's nothing wrong with having a will, you know, your last will testament you need to. In case something happened accidentally where you're not really, you know, because nobody planned on leaving anytime soon, you know, but hey, you know, if you make mistakes, things happen, okay? So there's a lot of things in the book that's really, really good. There's also a book, I'm just giving you what things are coming in package. You get 10 CDs. You get your hat, your T-shirts, your buttons, and all that stuff comes with the when you join the Elohim Five Tribes Society of Love. Actually, the Society of the Constellation Elohim, they call it the Constellation Osiris. No, they changed it from Osiris. We call it Osiris. They call it Orion's Belt now. They change the name of everything, and they give themselves credit for finding, oh, look what we discovered. You know, we've been looking at it for years, but they discovered it. Only their archaeologists can discover something. You got people walking around pyramids and walking around these mounds and all that stuff, but they don't get credit for knowing that it's there. Only until a European scholar comes over and Lord so-and-so, so-and-so will get the credit for discovering what he did, you know. 80 million people on the continent, here comes Christopher Columbus. Well, he never even got here. I think Leif Erikson, he's actually one of the first Europeans to come in, the Viking. Look what I discovered, you know. Nobody else knew it was here but me, you know. 80 million people living there, raising children, having families, cities, and everything else going around it, you know. It's interesting that they never showed that there were cities here when they landed here. Ah, that's right. When they got off on Plymouth Rock, there were cities here, you know. In fact, Chicago was built, I don't know if you watched Good Times, but Valona, the one that was on Good Time, her great-grandparents set up Chicago. Something to think about, you know. It's a little tidbit, you know. But today we're talking about politics, which is in the book. And I think it's in Deuteronomy. It tells you that when they were tired, they in the book it tells, the story goes, this is the occult portion. And the story goes that they were tired of God and they wanted to have a king to protect us and take care of us. That's what the story goes. You know what I'm saying? And God told them, look, when you got a king, if you have a king, this is what they're going to do. They're going to take a portion of your goods and give it to their people. They're going to take the best of what you have, give it to their people. They will have you run beside their chariots to protect their king, you know. And this is what that's what they do. That's what they do today. You know, this was, we got the book. The book is a couple thousand years old, but this is what they're doing right now, you know. When the president comes down the line, you have the Secret Service running behind his car, and whoever's in office, Democrats, Republicans, they're taking from you to build up their little group, and their people get the best of this and the best of that. You know, you check what they're getting paid. Check what the generals and army are getting paid, you know. And it costs a lot of money to run a system like this. If you ever look at the breakdown and the structure of how the system is laid out, I mean, it's absolutely amazing and takes a lot of money. But where did the money come from? The money comes from you. It's your money that they're using to do everything. Now, why do the 1% get such a pass on stuff that they're doing? Because somebody has to collect the taxes, okay? The 1%, they're the ones that are collecting the taxes. Fill out the W-2 form, and they take it right out to pay, and then they either quarterly or annually, they send this money into the government. See what I'm saying? This is why they're getting a pass, because they're collecting millions of dollars for the government, you know? So that's why the government gives them such a break, because I think if the people had to pay the taxes on their own, it probably wouldn't be paid, because the people would study and learn a lot of taxes they're paying. They don't owe. They don't have to pay, you know? They don't have to fill out the W-2 form. They can fill out a W-9 and become their own company, so to speak. And they don't have to pay all those taxes, you know? So it's a lot they don't want you to know, but this is why the big boys get a pass, because they are literally the tax collectors. Okay, and that's what's going on. And like I said, a lot of taxes you're paying that you don't have to pay. But that's a whole other story. Now, this is normally the day we talk about, we're into the political arena today, and what was going on in politics. And let's deal with politics itself. Before we get started, I'd like to, those who are on the line, thank you for calling in, but those who are on the line, all you have to do is press 1 and let me know that you have a comment, or you have something to say, or a question, or whatever, or if you want to promote your business. We don't charge people to promote their business on this show, because we like to give back to some of the people that are doing things, or trying to do things. And there are a lot of people out there that are doing things out there that are trying to help out. Okay? We make our money by doing other things, you know, like book CDs, stuff like that that we're selling out there. It is how we make our money to stay on the air, but we don't charge for our commercials, okay? So just press 1 if you have something to say, and then let me know. Light will light up on the board, and that will let me know that you have a comment or something that you want to say. And we'll open up the mic, and you can make your comment or say whatever you have to say, okay? Just press 1, all right? Now, this is our political night. Wednesday's political day. So let's get into something that's very interesting. You know, let's talk about Joe Biden for a minute. All right. I think he's doing a pretty good job. He's trying to move towards the reap what you sow culture. Okay? There's only two cultures on the planet. All right. You have the reap what you sow culture and the doggy dog culture. Those are the two cultures. Now, the doggy dog culture should be under the reap what you sow culture. This is how President Hansen and them, I say this every day, President Hansen and them, the founding fathers, the real founding fathers, that's how they set the system up, okay? And the military is under the civilian population, or a civilian person, and that's what's going on, okay? So that keeps the two cultures in check. The doggy dog culture left unchecked, they take what they want, and we've been in constant wars all the time. So this is the first time we're not literally at war. You know, we went into Afghanistan, we went into Iraq, not because they actually did anything. Saddam did not have no weapons of mass destruction. They know they could take him out because they sold him all of them dilapidated weapons that he had, them old beat-up tanks and all that stuff. He got the tanks and stuff from them. And so when they went in, it was like a piece of cake to knock him off. They went in there for the oil, okay? Oil barons went in. They went in to get the oil. Same thing in Afghanistan. They went in there for the minerals. They had nothing to do with 911. And we learned that. We know that 911 was an inside job, okay? The people that was on the plane, some of the Arabs was on the plane, and Israelis, they don't mention Israelis that was involved. That's what I'm saying. I didn't go there. Oh, boy. And the fact that the mob stole the gold with the little trucks and stuff that the thing happened. The Jews that owned the situation, you want to come from? See, they don't get into all this stuff that we, from 911 that they need to talk about. Now, this is the kicker about 911. The military was on a training mission, so they couldn't pick up on the flight of the plane that was out there. Now, what Al-Qaeda operative know how to schedule a military operation with the Air Force? You know what I mean? To keep them busy while this thing is going on. That's what I'm saying. It was an inside job. And they went and they used them and they scapegoated them. that's the term I was looking for, the scapegoat of Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda now. And what's his name? Bin Laden. The scapegoat of Bin Laden so that they can go in there and take the oil. It's all about the 1% making more money, you know? And that's what the whole thing was all about. So, but they don't talk about what really happened because they don't want the people to really know what happened. You know what I mean? They start talking about terrorists this and terrorists that. The biggest terrorist on the planet is sitting right there in the White House. You know, we are the biggest terrorists on the planet. I don't believe Joe Biden, but I'm talking about the people that have been running that office. Even Obama, we have to give him a little credit. He did a little terrorism himself. He sold weapons to the Arabs who were bombing Yemen, his own people, you know, and they were there bombing Yemen, you know, and they're causing all that destruction and death they're causing over there, you know, and the White House helped him do it, you know. That office, it's an amazing office. You got to remember that these people are crooks. I'm talking about George Washington and his descendants, the one that's in charge of stuff here, the one that's reaped so much benefit from so much death and destruction. I call it the white mobs because they've been ruling for the last 90 years, okay? so there's a lot going on politically that we need to be aware of, that we aren't aware of, you follow what I'm saying? Now, we look at Joe Biden as if he's going to be our savior or whatever, but you got to remember, he's part of the old guard. And the Europeans were under black rule for 800, well, actually for longer than that. But Britain was under black rule for 800 years, and it took them 800 years to get out from under black rules. It was the Moors. The Moors was ruling Britain, Spain, all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? We dominated the seas. That's right. We dominated the seas, okay? In fact, we had a global empire. Global empire. That's why I like the books when Marx cried out. He had evidence to prove all of this. We had, the Olympics. See, they didn't come up with the Olympics. That wasn't their idea. Nothing that they're doing is their specifically their idea. They're taking our system and they're building on the systems that we have set up. That's what's going on right now. Okay. And they have unearthed, they're little archaeologists have unearthed stadiums and stuff like that there where we have the sports and the games and all that stuff. But it's not making it into the school system, not making it into the lecture halls, the black lecture halls. We don't know none of this stuff. There's so much going on that we don't know about, you know? 95% of all of the invention that pushed this country forward came out of the black community. Now, if all of us decided that, hey, we ain't going to participate no more, we're going to leave, they ain't not going to let you leave. They need you here more than you know. We are the black gold. You know, I mean, they need you here. So the country was set up by us, okay, stolen from us, okay, and now we're in the process to get it back. The Civil War was part of us taking our country back. We won the war, but we lost the peace. Amazing. Let's talk about that word peace for a minute. Peace is a declaration of war. When you run around telling your boy, peace, brother, peace, you don't know what the word means. You're actually declaring war on a person that you wish peace to. Peace is a declaration of war of attrition. It's a war of attrition. So when they sign a peace treaty, the arms race begins because they know whoever get their armament set up first, they're coming to take the other guy's stuff. That's what the peace treaty is all about. Like the Indians, they signed their little peace treaties with the forked tongue people. I'm talking about the Europeans who were running through at the time. They signed a little peace treaty, and because they couldn't beat them, you know, it was like it was just too many. They just could not beat the Indians at the time because the guerrilla warfare and stuff that they were fighting, the Europeans weren't used to that. Okay, they fighting along the how would you call it? Yeah, with their chest, right along the chest line. It's kind of fight. But the Indians was using guerrilla warfare on them, and they were losing. Maybe talk about Custer, but Custer didn't have just one. It wasn't just one battalion. The whole military was tied up. by all the Indians because they came together. The indigenous people got together, and they couldn't beat them, so they signed a treaty. But what did they do when they signed a peace treaty? They went on an arms buildup, and the Indians did. They thought everything would be kumbaya. We got a peace treaty. We don't have to fight no more. No. That was just a tactic to stall for time until they get enough people here, until they get enough military buildup so that they can go in and take what they got. What's happening now? The Indians on reservations. They just took all their land, took their land, put them on reservation. You know what I mean? And then they passed laws that they can't own so much sheep. They can't grow over so much of this. They made sure that they didn't have, according to the treaty, that they couldn't have an economic buildup to purchase weapons. That's what they did. It's against the law to them to build up economics. They couldn't own the things that would give them the money to purchase the weapons. It's right in the treaty. You can go look it up and read it, you know? And another thing, since we ended the political thing, there's another misnomer that we have going on that they don't talk about. Although you can Google it. I don't know if you can Google it now. I think they took all those sites down because they were telling people right on the sites that they didn't set up that George Washington and them didn't set up the Constitution of the Bill of Rights. They were telling you right there. Another thing that they're not telling you is that when the Declaration of Independence was declared, right, they fought for 33 years and they lost. Hello? You didn't win the War for Independence. You lost to Britain, but the Queen is smart. And he say women ain't smart, bro. The Queen, she had a brain on her, man. I'm telling you, she. You got to give her props. She learned how to handle the country, okay, without literally coming in and taking over with the Queen's rules. Okay, because the Constitution, the democracy, everything was already in place. So all she had to do was control the money, you know, and that's what she did, you know. She controlled the money and she controlled the weapons manufacturing. That's what she did. General Electric, they were weapon manufacturers. I don't know if you know that or not, but they were weapon manufacturers, okay. This is out of the country. I mean, there's so many things that don't get into the history books. They have records of all of this, but it doesn't make it to you. I mean, I Googled who owns the United States. There's two, the United States and the United States of America. They're two separate governments here. One is the 52 states and one is the federal government. You know, she owns the federal government. That would include Congress, the Senate, and the President. That would include all that. The three branches of the government belong to her, and they control the bank. What's that? The federal bank. It ain't federal, but it's a privately owned bank, and it's controlled by the Queen because the United States. This is a trust, okay? And she is the trust declarer. Okay, it's in the records. You can find this stuff, but you have to look for it because they don't want anybody to notice, okay? So, because when I looked at who controlled the federal government, the federal bank, that's when I found out that the Queen owns the United States and the Americas. See, you have to get the book on Life Cry Out. That'll help you understand how some of this, because this was already called the America. Going back to, from when we come here from Mars, I went off planet. What can I tell you? Come back from Mars to the Lemurian, okay? Now they got little programs going, trying to make the Lemurians as white as snow. You should see what they got. Right, they got all blonde, right hair, blue eyes. It's amazing how they're just taking our history. Now, all five tribes was here when they came here. You follow what I'm saying? this is why they're pushing this gene thing or the genetic thing, tell you where you come from. Oh, you're two parts Irish and you're one part Haitian or Greek and you're three parts African and you come from so-and-so, so-and-so. No indigenous man or woman is from this planet. I'm just saying, you can look it up. Since you only believe what they're telling you, you can look it up and find some of this information out yourself. We came here because the five tribes were fighting one another, and they had a military buildup because these tribes were trying to protect themselves from the tribe. And when they went to war, they had so much power that they destroyed the face of the planet, which was Mars. They're finding little things on Mars to let them know that this information that I'm disseminating to you is actually true, okay? And we came here as Lemurians, we came here. This is pre-Atlantis. We got here before Atlantis, you know what I mean? They didn't change that story around, too. You're not really getting none of the actual stories. Plus, we had some things going on in Belize, on a spiritual side, incorporeally. We had some things going on in Belize. they never talk about that because they don't really know as much as they want to know about that because they're having trouble dealing with the incorporeal side of who we are. We say spirit or soul or whatever you want to call it. They even change the name just to confuse us more so they don't know who you are and what's going on. So, because once they do that, they'll be able to get into what's called dark matter. Now, those who are on the line, thank you for calling in. Also, if you press 1 on your dial, you can make a comment or a statement, or if you want to promote your business or whatever you have, you can just press 1 and let me know that you have something to say, and I'll open up your mic and you can make your comment, okay? Now, I don't debate issues, you know. I just allow you to give your opinion. You know, who you know, somebody else might have the same opinion you got. Who knows, you know what I mean? But at least you have a chance to give your opinion and to make a statement as to what you want to say, okay? Now, also, okay, I'm going to bring on 7087, and then after that, we're going to go to the commercial, okay? Because I always do a little commercial at halfway through the hour. 7087, you're on the air. Do you have a comment or statement you want to say?
Yes, I have a question. I was referring back to when you said that we're from Mars. Can you give a little bit more details in regards to why you're saying that we're from Mars originally?
Well, actually, I didn't say that. That might have been what you heard, but I didn't say that. I didn't say we were from Mars originally. The word originally I didn't use, but I just said we come from Mars, but not originally. In order to do that, I'd have to get into some of the history as to who we really are and where we really came from, you know, and how we got to Mars. You know, I'd like to do that as well. But, see, according to the Bible, I always go back to the biblical text and give you some kind of leg to stand on because I read the Bible all the time. Psalm 82:6 says that we are all God. Okay, that's what it says. If you didn't write it, that's what it says. And if men and women are God, that means as part of the code, reading the Bible as a code book, everywhere they talk about God, they're talking about men and women, okay? Because we are actually the gods of this dimension. So in the beginning, it said God made the heavens and the earth. They're telling you that men and women had the technology at one time to make planets, okay? And the reference that, to keep a little short, the reference that is that the moon is a satellite. We have satellites up there right now. So we're coming back into the knowledge that we once lost. We are designers, okay? And when we came in and we set this solar system up, now we also spend time on Venus, we spend time on Pluto, They're finding all the stuff out now to get out there. But our main activity was on Mars. And so we settled on Mars, and Mars is where we were living at because the indigenous people of this planet is the Sasquatch, the Abominable Snowman, those guys. They're the original. They're the indigenous people of this planet, not modern man. Modern man is not indigenous to this planet. This is why they can't prove what they call it, this Darwin theory. That's why they use the term theory, because they can't prove what they stand in reference to evolution. A theory is an idea that somebody has that hasn't been proven yet. That's why I never debate Darwinism, because they can't prove it. You know, I mean, they sound good when they talk about it, you know, but with the Epiphagus and the Cro-Magnon and all that, all that sounds good, but that's not us. And when they go back to Lucy, we check her blood type, all right? She's not modern man. The blood type is just too different, okay? But this is why I say, based on the biblical studies, okay, we made the planet, the solar system, all this here stuff, and we settled on Mars. Okay, this is where some of the information is coming from. So I get to some of this information as they're beginning to study. And in our oral history, oral tradition, okay, we talk about all of this stuff, our oral history passing down from generation to generation. If you go back and look at what they're doing with the Dogons in their oral history, telling them that we're from Cyrus. See, this is where we're from. And our journey came from there to here, into this, well, into this particular area. And we built the stuff as we were coming through here. And I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But this is how I'm saying that we originally come from Mars. And if you look up the Lemurian, you know, you can look this up. You can Google some of this stuff. If you look up the Lemurian, and it will tell you a little bit about them and how they got here and what that was all about. And that shows you how part of the journey made, but it's more to it than that. So I'll get more into that if you like. Right now, I have to do the commercial before we run out of time. I usually do it half of this hour. This is I'm going to leave your mic open. So if you want to jump in and, you know, want more answers or more information about that, just jump in right after I do the commercial. And you can just, you know, say, because your mic, I'm going to leave your mic open. This is Elohim Five Tribes, the Constellation of Cyrus, and our radio presenter, Elohim Speaks, at 8 to 9 p.m. We're here every day. We don't mention your name. We only mention the last four digits of the phone number and let you know that you're live and you can speak. Okay, we do that for security reasons. Unless you want to mention your name yourself, you can. Okay, Monday we talk about society news. Tuesday we talk about tyrannical scriptures. That's secret doctrine. We go through that on Tuesday. Wednesday we're dealing with politics. We're in the politics today. But politics is a very, very broad subject, so there's a lot of leverage there on what we can talk about. Also, on a Thursday, we're talking about economics on Thursday. Friday, we talk about health. Saturday is history coming from the legacy of our nation, Legacy of a Nation, which is a show that we dedicated to our Brother Mac. He made transition. He was one of my elders, and boy, I miss Brother Mac. But we're going to be talking about Black history on Saturday, okay? And Sunday, we're back strictly about the Bible as a code book. Bible 2.0 is what it's called every Sunday, okay? We have released a CD. We have a CD on the market. It's called, I have a CD on the market. It's called Jesus is Coming, Elohim 10 Tracks, Jesus is Coming, okay? It's on YouTube. The link to order it is on CD Baby/CD/Elohim Christ 2. That's the number 2, so check it out. You can also catch me on YouTube. Just click on Elohim Christ 10 Tracks, Jesus is Coming, and you'll be able to listen to the song, be hard putting together and all that, you know? And we talk about Jesus coming back. We say, well, how is Jesus coming back? We think he's coming back the same way he came the first time, through the goddess's womb. So you sisters out there, be mindful of the babies you're dumping, also the abortion stuff. That's for a reason. Be mindful of the babies you're dumping, because that child you dump just might be the one to get us out of this mess. And brothers, remember, it takes two to make them. It takes two to take care of them, okay? Don't forget to check out my book, Tyrannical Scriptures Part 2, A Christ Has Come. It has a lot of powerful information. And all the books, Tyrannical Scriptures, there's a little occult practitioner in there because we're talking about stories. Some stories in Tyrannical Scriptures Part 2. But Tyrannical Scriptures could be volume. It's not a lot of stories in there. It's mostly about things that bring you to power, okay? I'd like to give a shout out to Hart Butler for his book, History Book, When Rocks Cry Out. That's a book that I suggest you get. It locks you into the global empire. He has proof and everything else on that we were here. This was called the Americas and all that. This is what he talks about. That's why I like him. A lot of scholars don't like him because they're caught up in what the European scholars are putting out, and they're not putting out the truth. Trust me, they start putting, a lot of European scholars went to put out the truth, and they lost tenure. They kicked them out. They weren't able to get paid and teach no more. They really don't want the truth to come out. Okay? I'd like to give a shout-out to Sister Tammy. She's on YouTube under the name Kamitra 11. She has a spoken word, and she speaks a pretty good word, too. But last time I checked, she was doing some singing, and she sounded pretty good out there singing, okay? So go to YouTube, check out Kamitra 11, Sister Tammy. I'd like to give a shout-out to the Nikki Love Show. She's a spiritual advisor. She comes on YouTube. And her calling number is 909-749-8626. She's a spiritual reader. I get a reading on her. She get a reading on me. She's pretty good. So I want to give her props. She's been at it for a long time, you know. so that's Nikki Love. Let me get that number again, 909-749-8626. Because we don't really get into a lot of the spiritual reading stuff because most of us don't actually understand it, you know. But sometimes you give her a call, ask some questions, find out what's going on. You might learn something, you know. Okay. I'd like to give a shout out to Division 121 out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, UNIA, 1918 and 1929 of the world. They meet every week. For more information, just contact President Mark T. At 267-822-2320. Okay, I'll get that number again. 267-822-2320, okay? And he'll tell you what's going on with the UNIA. Those of you who are not familiar with the UNIA, that's an organization that was started by Marcus Garvey. He had one of the largest organizations, black organization, in the history of the country. So if you don't know anything about him, you might want to look him up and learn a little bit about your history. He's a very, very, he was a very powerful person, you know. Well, let me say influential. He was a very influential person because he didn't have enough power. They deported him and kicked him out of the country. Trumped him up with some lies. They put some lies on him and kicked him out of the country. You know how they do us, right? okay. Also, I like to... give a shout out to RBG Industries, the UAIA. They're offering land to build on Africa. He makes designer clothes, buttons, and red, black, and green flags. He makes an excellent flag with good quality work. In fact, I bought 4 suits off of him. Suits pretty good. You know, he made a uniform for us, and he does a pretty good job. His number is 609-638-5828. So give him a call when you get a chance. And I'd like to give a shout out to Safemore Electronics. They're industrial electrician. They do sockets, lights, you know, lamps and all that kind of stuff. You know, you have a problem with anything in your house, sockets blowing out, stuff like that. You give them a call and they help you out. That's one of my son's companies. So, you know, I stick my check out a little bit when I talk about my little one. His number is 215-909-3352. From 9 to 5, you can give him a call. I also like to give a shout-out to Tom Thornton, who writes under the name Tommy T. He has an old-school style. He has, like, 7 CDs on the market. He has a beautiful voice. You need to give him a call. His call-in number is 267-259-4033. You can check him out. He's on YouTube, Spotify. Like me, he's everywhere out there, you know. I also like to give a shout out to Taylor Potts Learning Academy. She's licensed and certified. She's a registered nurse who's currently in medical school, going to be a doctor. That's one of my little ones too. You know, I'm sticking my chest out. I'm plugged in every day. What can I tell you? You know, she has a before and after school service in the Western area. So from best quality children's services, you can call 610-638-8352 from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And her email address is TaylorTotsLearningAcademy@gmail.com. I also like to give a shout out to a resident practicing naturopathic healer. That's Dr. Paul. His number is 215-779-7355. And if you call him like I did, he sent me a nutrient chart. You know, and especially in this day and time, we need to eat a little better, and that'll help you out some. Also with Dr. Bill. His number is 61-561-3864. He has water treatment equipment and stuff like that there. So if he's tired of the scoop your punch and you want to clean it up before you drink it, he's a good person to call, okay? And if you're not calling one of these guys, if you don't have these guys on speed dial, you deserve to be sick. You know, nobody deserves to be sick. So call these guys and don't worry, be healthy. Okay, let's go back to what we were talking about. Now, just to give you a little background, right? I know what we're going into all this. But that's the question of that. Now, 7087, if you have any more, if that helps you out a little bit, or if you have more questions, your mic is open. You can just jump in, okay, when you get a chance. Whenever you're ready, just jump in. Don't ever interrupt me. Just jump in if you have something else to say, okay? Now, remember, everybody that's on the line, just hit one if you have a comment or a statement and or a question or however, and open up your mic and you can, make your comment or statement like that there. We're incorporeal entities. Okay, we come in, there's another dimension up in the black hole, up in Osiris, A, B, and C. There's a dimension up there. I'm just giving you a little history. This is pre-Bible, okay, by the way. The Bible begins with the making of solar system and the planets and stuff. That's where the Bible begins at. But this is pre-Bible, okay? This is the Bible don't go into this. Though it does give you some evidence that this is going on in the story of Genesis, okay? We come from an incorporeal dimension. We come through when incorporeal entities give off energy, that energy is physical, and it comes through the black hole into this dimension. They're worried about the gas that they've given off, igniting, burning off both dimensions, okay? This is why we came in and we set up Sirius A, B, and C. These are very dense stars to withstand the gravitational pull of the black hole. And once they got here, they used those stars to test the gas so that the gas wouldn't, to see if the gas would burn through both dimensions, because that's what they was worried about. But when they tested the gas, dark matter, I don't know if you're familiar with dark matter, but dark matter flowing through the entire universe keeps the gas from jumping from one molecule to another. Okay, so the gas, they ignite and burn up the whole dimension. So they begin making solar systems and planets because they had to live here to watch the fire and all that. This is where the concept of hell comes from, watching the gas burn and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going through this pretty fast. I do a whole hour on this particular thing. I'm just going through it pretty fast, too fast a question, because we're supposed to be dealing with politics today. Day. But we'll go anywhere you want. At any given day, we'll go anywhere you want if you have a question. So that brought us into this particular solar system. We built this solar system up here. We spent time on Venus, Jupiter, Mars, all of that. If you notice, in our written tradition, they call this the seventh planet, because we counted coming into the solar system, not going out. Like they said, it's the third planet. But since we were coming into the system, okay, because we traveled the stars, and we're still out there right now. ET, you're ET, you're going to get this information as time goes on. The Europeans are going to give it to you, okay? But right now, they're blocking everything to let you know who you are. In fact, I don't know if you can find this on YouTube. I meant to lock it down, but I didn't. They found a craft ship on Mars. And the young lady, the captain of the ship, she was laid out, or she had died. She had laid out in front of the ship where she had died. They got a picture of her, and she looked just like you do. She looked just like us, dreadlocks and all, or locks and all, you know? That picture was up there for a minute. That whole thing was up there for a minute. Now it's hard to find it. They're blocking information because they don't want you to know who you are. Okay, you're the makers, the owners, the masters of all of this. That's who you are. You're designers. You're the best designers on the planet. And why I say designers, when we're going back to the term God, do you want to come from? Men and women can't fly. We call our children, kids, we use all these names for them, but actually you're. And the book, it said, let us make men and women That's what you're doing. You made a small man and a small woman. That's who you are. And you're growing into godhood. You're going from men and women to God. Men and women are under nature. So when you call yourself a woman or a man, that means you're under nature. Okay? Men and women naturally can't fly like a bird. You rouse down, flap your arms all day long, you're not going anywhere. Okay? But you can design whatever you need to take you wherever you have to go. That's what's going on. You're a designer. You can design systems. You can design a better way of life for yourself, everything. You do not have to be stuck where you are because of who you are. That's why the Egyptians said, know thyself. They give the Greeks credit for it. When you watch the movie, Morpheus, the Matrix, she says, the Greeks, that's Greek, at least know thyself. But as Egyptian, it comes out of Kemet, and they say, know thyself. So until you know who you are, you don't know what your potential is and what you can do. Now, we're in the political arena, okay? Now, we're talking about politics. The Europeans have never been a majority on this continent. They're not a majority now, okay? I hope that I answered your question somewhat. You know what I mean, sister? And if you have more questions, like I said, just jump in, your mic is open. The Europeans have never been a majority on this continent. All they have done when they got here is rob, stole, murder, not all of them. They're not putting all the Europeans in the one bag, because everything that we have done, all five tribes have been there to protect some of the other tribes. Okay, because it's in our DNA to do that. We have another, let me open up my mic here. 11:34, your mic is open. Do you have a comment or maybe something you want to say? You're on the air.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting when you were talking about the Mars thing. I thought it was interesting that the Europeans accredited Galileo for finding Mars in like 1610. With a telescope, that was like the first time it was saw, but they had NASA has hieroglyphs, pictures of hieroglyphs that they went over and took, and it's in the NASA archives of Mars on the hieroglyphs that's over 2,000 years old for what they could date, and that's a lot, and that's a lot longer before that dates back farther than 1610. So it's like the European account for the solar system that they got in the textbooks in NASA itself, they got where it's recorded different solar systems on a higher list. If you wanted to Google like some earlier Martian information on Earth during the time that black people put on Earth, like thousands of years ago, before Europeans mapped out the solar system. And I just thought it was kind of cool that NASA would keep something like that in their archive, you know, if anybody wanted to Google something like that.
Well, the information is out there. They just don't want you to have it. Okay, that's why they're not teaching it to you in the schools, because they don't want you to know who you are. And the more you learn about who you are, the less they will be able to keep their foot on your neck. The Bible was given to us by our ancestors so that we would never be conquered or put under anybody's foot again. But they took the book. Okay, coming from Constantine. Once Constantine learned what the book was all about, he made sure that he blocked that book so that the people wouldn't get it the way General Maurice gave it to him. And they've been following the book by book, because you can go down the book and it will tell you everything with how to set up your infrastructure, how to set up your military, the program and what they're using to social security numbers and all that's in there, and how they book by book and how they did it. And as you go through the books, you'll see there's a chronological methodology to why the books were put in the order that they were put in. You know what I'm saying? And system by system coming out of the book, It tells you how to build a global empire, because they never had a global empire until Constantine got a hold of the book, well, to Maurice. They call him Saint Maurice now, but he was General Maurice under Constantine's army, until he showed them how to read the book. The different books tell you different things. This is where they got the centralized banking system from, how to make sure that they save half their money or that they earn. You know, we check out the story of the Rothschild and how he set up so that his children went up banks and stuff. You know what I mean? The Bible is one of the most powerful books I've ever read, and I've read them all. Bhagavad Gita, Oddspeed, Life Between the Master. I haven't read all these books. And until you learn the codes of the Bible, you realize how powerful the book is. And what bothers me is that our children right now are throwing the book in the trash. It's fairy tales. It's, you know, and I haven't gotten to the point that I'm out there in the public, you know, telling them how to read the book yet. I'll be out there soon. I'll be listening to Sarnetta. If you get a chance, so tune in to Sarnetta. I guess I'm going to give you a plug, because that brother, I think he's something special. He gets them arguing and fussing and whatever, you know, but he's very good at it. I've never seen nobody. This brother will make a great politician. But I think he's pretty good at what he does, you know. But there's a lot going on in that book that we need to get into, especially in the first part of Genesis, you know, when they said, let us make men and women in our image. Now, if men and women are saying this, they weren't talking about cloning. They were talking about procreating, men and women getting together, having babies. So if they have a baby, the baby's going to be in their image. If I have a child and that child come out looking like a dog, I'm going to be looking at that sister, yo, sister, what's up? You know what I mean? You got a little gorilla coming out here or half cow or something coming out here. Something's wrong here. I know that didn't come from me, you know. It has to be in your image. This is what I'm saying. So, there's a 1,000-year difference between the first time in the book that they said, let us make men and women, until the story of Adam and Eve, okay? This is how when Cain through Abel, this is how Cain was able to find his wife when he left the garden. You know, if that woman went out there by herself, there's a whole society out there with her. 1,000 years worth of growth coming from the children of the first men and women that were made during the time that they were making the planets and stuff. They put their children on the planet. You know, this is what I'm saying. All this is in there. You know, once you deal with the code of the book. And further in Genesis, it's telling you that there's a dimensional shift. This is why they couldn't see themselves, because they were incorporeal entities and they turned physical. That's when God had to come to them physically to talk to them. That's when they heard him walking, because he didn't have to walk before. You know what I mean? There was a difference. There was more subtle communication that incorporeal entities use. That's why I suggest the first episode of Star Trek, Deep Space Nine. It gets into, when they go into the little wormhole, start talking about the wormhole aliens, and the life that they live and all that. That's a pretty good explanation of what the incorporeal existence is like. You know what I mean? So, but once again, we're out of time. I'd like to thank everybody called in. And those of you who decided to chime in and ask a question, I appreciate that. We might have to make sure a little longer, but right now, we're doing pretty good. And I'm here every day, okay? I'm not going to be sending out no texts. You're not going to get no, you know, all those that know I'm here, all those on the line, those that are calling in, I appreciate it. I'm here every day, so just call in. And I gave you an idea of what's going on. I like to do my closing assertion. I walked the path of reap what you sow today, and I eagerly embrace all that I have done to come back to me. So let it be written, so let it be done. Remember, now, this is, we're all about love. Love is an action word. Love is the act that makes others feel good. Now, think about it. If you're in a relationship, if you're in groups, or if you're in company of other people, however, every thought that you think, everything that you say, right, should make the other person feel good. And they should do the same thing to you, okay? And with that, we're going to sign off. Once again, I want to thank those who decided to make a comment. I appreciate that. And we will chit-chat again tomorrow, okay? Much love, guys.